weeks. I've been blessed. I've been fed. I've been, God has been very good. Appreciated the service this far this morning and the different things that were shared. And especially that opening was something that goes along with what I want to share. I had to think of that one verse that he just finished reading. I and them and thou and me. That the world may know that thou hast sent me. Another place in 1 John, it talks similar words about how the world will recognize truth and godliness by our love and our love for each other and our unity. And I think unity isn't always thinking the same thing, but it's being able to submit to each other and to honor each other in that way. We all have different backgrounds. We have different, maybe different cultures. We have different ways of looking at things. So obviously, we will not look at every situation the same way. And yet, it's God's desire that we would be one, in the sense that we can honor each other in submitting to each other in whatever way. And today, as we look around, we see many things that are not that way. We can look across different churches we see a lot of division at times, but that is not what God is wanting this morning. I guess I was still thinking a little bit about the opening 2 weeks ago, I think it was, when it was mentioned about Jesus being in the boat. Us not recognizing Jesus as he walks along and as he's coming through the water, over the water. Not recognizing Jesus. And I thought, how many times does a brother or sister come to us? Speaking to us. Maybe the words of Christ. Maybe Christ sent them. But we don't recognize that. We don't recognize that as coming from Christ, as being Christ speaking to us. And yet I believe many times, at least in my life, I found out that Christ speaks to me through the brothers and through the sisters, through the church. And so it's good for us to think about that as we think about being in unity, being together, and that being a sign of God in us. In Psalms 95, I'm going to read two verses out of there, and then I'll in Psalms 95, verse 6 and 7, it says, "O come, let us worship, bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." These verses show us the context of the church. It doesn't mention me or mine, but us and ours. In the same way in the Lord's Prayer, uh, It's not about me and my relationship so much as my relationship in a united way to God, in a church setting, you could say, in a unified way. It's about us and ours. And it's true, we all need our personal relationship with God. It's very important. And we need that to become part of the church. And yet it goes much more further than that. And as we become, as we need a relationship with our brothers. And throughout the New Testament, it would indicate many times that our relationship with God, we can double check our relationship with God by a relationship with our brothers and sisters. One thing we see, we all believe that God exists. I believe we do. But do we know who He is? Who is God? And how would we describe Him? How would we how does He want to be known? There's a verse in Exodus 6, 3. It says, "And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." That's indicating that he continues to reveal Himself in different ways. The Bible is a continuing revelation of who God is. And as we read through the Bible, we see a central thing that marks God's nature. And that is His desire for intimate relationship with His people. We can go all the way through the Old Testament and on into the New Testament, and we see that His desire for that relationship as individual, but also a lot as a people, as it mentioned there in Psalms, people of His pasture, His sheep. We see that in the Old Testament, in nation Israel, how He wanted them as His people, and He wanted them to follow Him and to love Him and to return that love and to be in a relationship with Him. I was always impressed by the by that story of Cain. When Cain got angry because God did not accept his offering, God did not just leave Cain there. And when we think of who God is, God did not have to talk to Cain, but He wanted to. He wanted Cain to respond to Him. He wanted Cain to, He had a love for Cain. It says Cain was very wroth. And it says, "The Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." He was pleading with Cain. He wanted that relationship with Cain. And yet Cain turned away. And I have to wonder, often wonder why You know, why did God bother? But it's because he wanted that relationship with Cain. And Cain did not heed. Sometimes in the sometimes we end up being like Cain, maybe especially in our relationships with each other. We become angry, we become bitter, we become, because nobody sees it the way I see it, and because we feel like we are right. We think of it in a certain way because that's how we think, and we cannot see it some other way. We become angry, we become ready to throw out our relationship with our brother, not knowing that our relationship with our brother also affects our relationship with God. I have a little story I would like to relate. Thinking about museums, we all know what a museum is. We want to apply it to, later we'll apply it to a little bit to the church and what it has for us. There's a huge World War II German U-boat, or submarine, as it's called, on display in a museum. Visitors can learn the history. They can pay to tour it, see how it works, how it operates. And I guess if any of us have read history, we realize that in World War II, the U-boats were, in the beginning of the war, was a very big threat to the Allies and to the world in general, to the enemies of Germany and their allies. And I believe they were called Wolves of the Sea, but there was a lot of fear for them. But as we go to the museum, we see that the U-boat is out of the water, out of the war, and has no crew. The only crew it has is some museum guides and caretakers. That U-boat fulfilled a purpose, but not the purpose its designers intended. It had missed its calling. There are two kinds of U-boats, those in the water and those in museums. The one fulfills its calling and the other kind serves a completely different purpose. Now we could relate this to us, you and me and the church. How many of us have missed our calling? Maybe we're like the guides, the teachers, the caretakers, spectators in the museum. But God has called us to come and join his crew, the church, and engage in a very real battle for his kingdom. That's what God desires for us this morning as his people, to be on the battlefront, to be, it's easy, I think, for us as, maybe we could say, religious people. We have certain things that we place here, and we have everything in a certain place, and and we have the right doctrine. Maybe we have the right dresses. We heard an opening. We can put on the right things. But that's not really what God has in mind. You know, in the museum, we can have everything picture perfect. We can polish up the whatever it is. We can make it look nice. And we know how it's supposed to look. And we can know how it's supposed to function. But it's not functioning. In Hebrews, I have to think of, in real life, you know, many things are not picture perfect. We can look at a new vehicle in a display room. It looks pretty, and it looks, but it's not. That's not what it was designed for. But when we take it and drive it down the road, it's a different world. That's what it was designed for. But it's not as picture perfect, you could say. And when we look at the stories in Hebrews 11, you know, many times we can, knowing the stories, we can look at it and we know the outcome, so we all know the stories, and yet do we know the real life or the real part of it? I just want to, we think of maybe Noah. It mentions Noah in the faith chapter. And we all know the story of how that is. We know how he built the ark, how he, in the midst of wickedness, and we know how he prepared it and how he saved him and his family and the animals that God put in there. And yet, that's just part of the story. Do we understand? It says he was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years, or at least over 100 years. He was there by himself. It was a lonely life. Many things that happened in that story that we're not really aware of. We don't see his discouragement. The time when he felt so alone, felt like giving up. He was going by faith. He did not know the outcome yet. We know the story of Abraham and how God asked him to give up his son. But do we know the anguish and those things that Abraham went through leading up to that deliverance when God provided another lamb? And yes, we know it's a type. We know it's a shadow. We know how the story ended. So it's a good story. But when he's in the middle of it, it's not quite the way it appears. It's a bit difficult. It was mentioned earlier that we will go through trials. We will go through hard times. It's not something we want, and yet it's something that we all we'll face. That's what life is. And there's many, as we read on through the faith chapter, which is found in Hebrews 11, there are many, many other stories in there that are not picture perfect. And yet we want our life to be, how would you say, somewhat easy. And I find myself in here many times, maybe like being in a museum, having everything here, the right things here and the right things there, and trying to maybe somewhat control my life, somewhat trying to be the right person and put on the right things. And but what happened when things don't turn out the way we think they should or the way we wish they would? We can't see the end when we're in the middle of it. The end is yet to be. Only God knows the end. And yet we know who holds the future. We can be assured of that. And yet we see many nameless people, nameless, faceless people, you would say, people we don't know, people we don't have their names of. It mentions there in the last part of Hebrews 11. Many who lost their lives. And we see that also in, you could say, in the Reformation. Many people, we know a lot of people, a lot of names, maybe a number of names, faces. Reformation, during the Reformation, many people, unknown people, gave their life. And we see that even here in the faith chapter. And I like to think the faith chapter is yet being unfinished. More names being put in. It's easier for us to be in a museum, maybe, to be a caretaker, or to be explain to people how it's supposed to work, explain to people how it's supposed to look and work, and we have all the right answers and have all the information down that we need. We have, because we know the doctrine, we know, we've studied, and so we know. And yet, is it working for us? Is it a working one? Is that what we were called to? And thinking of it as the church is God's crew. She is called to do His will. And along with that, no submarine can succeed with a crew of one. The same is true of the work God has for you. Thinking of doing our work and being a part of God's kingdom in the church. You know, we have a lot of Protestant ideas, it seems like. We We have this many, as we look across the landscape, we see many people saying that we feel we can get along without the church. We can worship God. The important thing is my relationship with God, and not necessarily our relationship with our brother. But that, to me, I don't believe that's really how the Anabaptists thought, and I don't believe that's how they really, and that's not how the Bible really would teach. Although it's an important part, the way we can test our love for God is by our love for each other, by our brothers and sisters. We see spirituality being separated from practice. We can be spiritual, but many times what we practice might not be necessarily spiritual. We see that as we look out across the landscape, and as I look at the churches where we associate with down there in Belize, it seems like there's a lot of change taking place. And many feel like, well, the brothers and sisters don't see it the way I see it, so I will go off on my own. I will worship God the way I feel, and the way I want, and yet that's not why Jesus came, so that we could be a bunch of individuals, but so that we could be together. And many years ago, when I grew up here, I believe it was probably 45, 50 years ago, I remember John Overholt being here. And I still remember what he spoke, what he talked about. And he talked about the Amazon River. And I don't know how many of you would remember what he spoke about. But it was something that that was very meaningful to me. And he says the Amazon River, and I forget the numbers, but it has fresh water way out into the ocean. It has maybe a couple hundred miles of fresh water going out into the ocean. The ships out there, they can see this fresh water out there. And I believe it was him that was, he was saying how as single drops, there's no hope for us to get out there. There's no hope for us to be a light as such out there, to reach out there. And yet as each drop of water and rain goes into the creeks, and the creeks goes into river, into smaller rivers, and the smaller rivers go into bigger rivers, and it all ends up in the Amazon River going out into the ocean. It can go way out there. It had a great influence, you could say, in the ocean out there. And he likened that to the church. And as individuals, we can have very little impact. Sometimes we, in our small minds, we feel that I, as an individual, can make a tremendous difference. And yet, it is true up to a point, but only as we are with our brothers and sisters can that really happen. As we're given up to God and to His will, and we know that God's will is for us to be part, to be with His people and part of His people. And the Bible talks about the last days. It talks about how perilous times. And along with that, it says, or one way to combat that, it says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. but even so much more as we see the day approaching. So many times we feel like maybe we have the truth, the others don't. We understand, my brother doesn't. And yet in Corinthians it talks about the church being a body, we each being a member. And we all know that as a body, we cannot survive by ourselves. An individual organ, an individual piece of the body cannot live outside of being part of the body. I think that's important for us, especially in this day and age. And as we see, look around us, we see many things happening. That we are aware of what's happening. That we pay close attention to what the Word says, and that we that our daily lives need to be lived as a daily response to God, to exalt and glorify and honor Him. And we do that through the church and in the context of the church, of the brotherhood. He's not just above all, but He's here. He's present. And He wants to be known. Many times we use big words to describe God. Things that we in our little minds can't really even comprehend. We think of omniscience, transcendent, a lot of different words we could use that we really don't even fully understand in our small minds. And all these things are true, all these words to describe Him, but we miss a simple thing many times that is closest to His heart. And that is His love for people. He longed to have a people who freely choose to return His love. And we don't do things just because we have to, or we feel like we have to, but because we love Him, and because we want to return that love that He has shown to us. And as we do that, and as though we go out to battle, we go out to proclaim the kingdom, we look at what the church's mission is. We can look at what the church's mission is. We can look at what, and yet we need to be part of that crew. We need to be part of that, of His people going forth and doing that work.